Good morning and welcome to Marbleton Free Will Baptist Church on another beautiful sunny day for a few days anyway. It's going to be sunny for today anyway. I don't think we've had any birthdays since last week. Has anybody had a birthday since last week that didn't make it to the bulletin or anniversary? Okay, I guess not. Okay, let's all stand and turn to page 297.
Just a few announcements this morning. We do want to remember Brother David Martin. He'll be bringing us a message here just in a little bit. And also remember today is Grandparents Day. And then this evening we'll be having a regular service and then or a song service. And then we'll be going downstairs for the Hope Shower Center. The Hope Center, we're going to have a shower, so everyone, they're going to have cake and some drinks, I think. So everyone after the service this evening, you know, we'll go down there and take part in that if you want to. Then just remember, next Wednesday's regular service, Wednesday night. Does anyone else have an announcement? Oh, I forgot. Tuesday night, we meet for prayer, me and 6 o'clock. Does anyone else have anything? Okay, if not, we'll take a prayer request at this time. We'll have all the prayer here for next. Right here. Somebody say. Okay. See, anyone else got a spoken prayer request? Have a spoken request. Unspoken. I know a lot of that's unspoken. If each one will, let's come. We'll gather around the altar this morning and have an altar of prayer. Brother Jim, if he would lead some prayer. this time, we'll go ahead and receive our morning tithes and offerings. For us, we'll come. That's the Brother Nathan, if he would. Bless off.
Lord, just thank you here for another day. You brought us out to worship you, Lord. Thank you for being good to us this week. Looking after us. Lord, I pray you move the service. I want to bring some message to the Lord. Lord, I pray you move this offering. Bless us once every year. In this name. Just pray this offering to you. It may be a thing. In the name of Christ.
Amen.
tell you. Today is Grandparents' Day, and we're going to recognize some special grandparents. So I guess we'll start off with the oldest grandparent. Do we have a grandparent older than 90? Okay, we have one. We have any more than one, that's older than 90? Okay, that would be Sister Pansy, so let's everybody stand and give her a hand this morning. Okay, now we're going to go to the youngest grandparent. We got confusion over there.
Yes, we do. We're only 9 church members.
Okay, the youngest grandparent. Do we have one younger than 40 years old? Okay, 45. Okay, we have one back there at 50. We have any more? Two? Okay. Okay. I hate to get down there and ask them how close that gets. Get in trouble sometimes. Okay, now we're going to go with the greatest grandparent with the most present here today.
Great
grandparent. Okay. Great grandparent, yeah. Okay. That's what I said, I thought. But.
You said greatest.
Oh, okay. Great. Okay, great. Okay, great. Okay, we have one here that has more than five. This is the great grandparent. Four. So it's Sister Pansy.
Yeah.
Okay. Give a hand for Sister Pansy. Now we go with the grandparent with the most grandchildren present today.
Grandchildren only.
Okay, grandchildren only. Okay. So this is one. Okay, do we have anyone that has more than five? And I believe you raised your hand. Okay. We have anyone else has more than five? Okay, I guess Sister seven. Okay, I guess Marilyn and Gary gets it then, I guess. That's all right. Okay. We would like to recognize all our special grandparents, and I think she has a little something when everyone leaves this morning. She'll be giving them a little something out. And will all the grandparents stand this morning, and we'll give them a round of applause. Okay. I took care of it. I didn't miss any of it. Okay. Okay. Okay, at this time, I'm going to go ahead and turn the service over to Brother David Martin. Brother, you come on and preach what God has put on your heart this morning. Just make yourself.
Good morning. I want to thank you all for having me with you this morning. When I first got here, the sister that does the bulletin apologized, said she got my name wrong in the bulletin. But I want to say that it doesn't matter if you all ever remember my name. It does not matter in the least that you all know my name, as long as we all know one name, and that's Jesus. As long as we know the name of Jesus, it does not matter if you know my name, and it does not matter. There's not one name in here that's important as the one that we're here to worship this morning, and that's Jesus. And this morning, the thought that was laid on my heart that I've been studying is that we've got a lot of church. We've got a lot of church people in America today, a lot of God's people that have fallen asleep. There's a lot of people in our nation that have fallen asleep. A lot of Christians all over the world that have fallen asleep. And I believe that God wants us to have a wake-up call this morning. I believe that God's wanting some people to wake up. The book of Ephesians says, "Awake thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Awake thou that sleepest. And this morning, if you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me, I'm in the book of Judges. And we're going to start in Judges chapter 16 and verse 19. And if you will, when you get your place, if you'll stand with me and we'll read God's word together. Judges chapter 16 and verse 19. It says, "And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him." Let's pray. Lord, we love you this morning, and we thank you for another opportunity to come into your house. God, we thank you for an opportunity to hear your word this morning. God, I pray that you would get me out of the way, Lord. I don't matter one bit, and if you don't preach this morning, Lord, then there's no real preaching going on. I pray, Father, that you would just have your will and your way in this service, Lord, and that above all else, that the name of Jesus would be uplifted. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. So I wanted to talk this morning about a man in the Old Testament who had great potential. He had a great purpose for God, but he fell asleep. He fell asleep. And I think that as Christians, a lot of times we're in danger of that exact same thing, falling asleep. And I believe that there's a lot that have already fallen asleep. And it's easy to be lulled to sleep by the world. And as I thought about this man, Samson, he had a great purpose. God had intended him for a great purpose. From the time before he was born, he had a purpose. And I wanted to look in Judges chapter 13, verses 24 and 25. And this is right at Samson's birth. And it says, "And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtol." And I wanted to, this morning, I hadn't even planned on saying anything about this, but when I was reading over this morning, and it said, "And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan." I believe that as a church, as Christians, as God's people, if we want to wake up, then we have to have the Spirit of the Lord that will move us at times. I believe that the biggest problem in the church today is that we've gotten away from the Holy Spirit of God, and that the Spirit of God is not moving upon his people the way that they were, because his people are not seeking him the way that they were. And I believe that if we ever want to wake up as a nation, as a church, as Christians, if we ever want to wake up, then we have to earnestly seek the gift of the Holy Ghost. Paul tells us in the book of, it's either 1st or 2nd Corinthians, he says, earnestly seek and desire the gifts of the Spirit. And I believe that as Christians, if we ever want to wake up and we ever want to do God's purpose, the Spirit of the Lord has to move on us at times. And I believe that there's far too many Christians that come and we just sit on the pews and we don't worship anymore and we don't praise anymore because the Spirit of God's not moving on us, because we're not seeking the Spirit of God. And let me just say that if there's anything that we do in this service, it should be to uplift the Holy Spirit of God. It should be to invite the Holy Spirit of God into this service, and we need to be in his presence. The Holy Spirit's easily grieved. There's a lot of stuff that we can do to grieve the Holy Spirit, but without him, the Bible says all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. And if the Holy Spirit don't preach me, I don't want to preach this morning. If the Holy Spirit's not in our services, I don't want to be in our services this morning. We can't have church without the Holy Ghost. The Christian life was not meant to be lived apart from the Holy Spirit, and I got stuck on that this morning. and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan. If we want to wake up, we've got to have a move of the Holy Ghost. We've got to have a move of the Holy Ghost. And there's some things in Samson's life that I wanted to touch on just for the next few minutes. Some things that caused Samson to fall asleep. If you read Samson's story, before he was born, the Lord told Samson's mother that he would be a Nazarite unto God. And if you read in the book of Numbers, I believe it's Numbers chapter 6, it tells about this Nazarite vow. It tells about what went along with Samson being a Nazarite, what went along with anybody being a Nazarite. And there's a few stipulations to this vow. And it was a pretty strict commitment to the Lord. If you wanted to be a Nazarite, there were a few things that you had to adhere to. One was that you couldn't have anything from the vine. That means none of the wine that came from the vine, none of the grapes that came. You couldn't eat of the fruit of the vine. You couldn't eat the grapes. The Bible says if they were moist or if they were dry, you couldn't eat them. You couldn't touch anything on the vine that grew on the vine. That's one of the stipulations. Another was that you couldn't go near to anything dead, anything unclean. Anything that was dead, you couldn't go near it. You couldn't touch anything unclean. And lastly, a razor couldn't ever touch your head. You couldn't cut your hair if you wanted to be a Nazarite. If you had taken that Nazarite vow, there's three stipulations that Samson and anybody who wanted to who had taken that Nazarite vow, three stipulations that they had to adhere to. You couldn't have anything off the vine. You couldn't touch anything unclean, and you couldn't cut your hair. And that seems a little bit crazy. That seems like some pretty strict guidelines to follow. But I do want to mention this, that I believe if we want to be used by God in a mighty way, sometimes that takes a mightier commitment. Sometimes if we want to do a mighty work for the Lord and we want to be used by God for His purpose, we've got to do something to set ourselves apart. We've got to make a commitment to set ourselves apart unto God. And I believe that when we're saved, the Bible says that we're sanctified, we're set apart for special use. And as God's people, we ought to be willing to set ourselves apart to be used by God. And so there were three things that Samson had to adhere to, and that's important to this story. That's important to the story of Samson as he grew up. The Bible says here in chapter 14 that he found a woman of the Philistines that he fell in love with. And some things that caused Samson to fall asleep and some things that cause us to fall asleep. I believe we can take a lot of principles from the story of Samson here in the Old Testament. But some things that will cause us to fall asleep. First of all, Samson loved ungodly women. And if there's any young people in here this morning, maybe you're starting to date, maybe you're in high school, I want to give you a warning not to be dating anybody that's not a believer. Do not date a young man or a young woman that's not a believer if you are. The Bible calls that being unequally yoked. And there's danger in falling asleep. If you are a young man, and I don't care, maybe it doesn't matter what stage of life you're in, if you're single, be careful who you date. Be careful who you go out with. And it's important that if we want to be godly people, that we date godly people, that we would marry godly people. And dating's a serious issue. We need to be careful who we date and who we go out with. One thing my mom always said growing up is every date is a potential mate. So you need to always keep that in mind. We need to be equally yoked. The Bible says not to be unequally yoked with non-believers. Because I think one of the easiest ways that a young man or a young woman can be drug away from God's purpose and to fall asleep is to be unequally yoked with a non-believer. And the thing is, if you're a believer and you're with a non-believer, you've got two different views on life. You've got two different sets of morals, two different sets of aspirations. One's wanting to please God, and one's wanting to please the world. And the Bible tells us that we cannot be friends with the world and with God. Friendship with the world is enmity with God, or that separates us and makes us an enemy of God. We got to be careful who we date and who we marry. And Samson had his heart set on these ungodly women. He fell in love with a woman of the Philistines, and it says that he went and found his parents and said, "I want you to go get this woman for me to be my wife." See, they had to go and they had to pay the bride price and all that. I'm not going to get into any of that, but he went to them and they tried to persuade him, "Can you not find somebody of the people of God?" But he wouldn't have it. He had fallen in love with an ungodly woman. And so they were on their way to go pick this woman up to pay the bride price. And somewhere along the way, Samson got separated from his parents. And the Bible says in they were on their way to Timnath. And it said, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. First of all, Samson was in a vineyard. And if you remember what I said about the Nazarite vow, he was not supposed to have anything off of the vine. So why in the world was Samson hanging around a vineyard? And I think as Christians, we're in danger of falling asleep a lot of times when we start hanging out in places that we shouldn't be. And we cover it up with a lot of excuses. Well, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to go. I'm not going to drink anything. And teenagers in high school were all bad about this. I was bad about it when I was in high school. We could say, I'm not going to do anything, but I'm going to go. I'm going to go hang out. All my friends are there. I'm going to be there, and I'm not going to drink or do the drugs or do anything that they're doing, but I'm going to go. They might need somebody to drive them home. I don't want to be weird and left out. I'm going to at least go, but I'm not going to do anything. And you very well may not do anything, but as Christians, we're in danger of falling asleep when we start hanging out in the wrong places. And you might not do any of the drinking or any of the drugs that anybody else is doing at these parties, but I want to say that you might get hooked up with somebody that's not right for you when you're hanging out in the wrong places. And that was Samson's problem. He was going to the wrong places. He was going and spending time with the people that were not God's people and doing the things that were not godly things. And that's how he was falling in love with these people that were not godly people. And when we fall in love with people, when we're unequally yoked with non-believers, sometimes our interests start to change, and you can be a completely godly young person or a completely godly older person. It don't matter what age you are, but we start keeping the wrong company, and we start spending time doing the wrong things. And Samson found himself here in a vineyard, and it said that a lion roared against him, and that might have been God trying to get his attention, but a lion roared against him. And it said, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father and his mother what he had done. And I thought that was that's another picture of the Spirit of the Lord, how as Christians we need the Spirit of God. It says the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he ripped that lion in half. But I thought it was interesting. It says he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Why didn't he tell his mom or dad what he had done? Because he was somewhere he shouldn't have been. And the Lord protected him, and the Lord took care of him, but he was somewhere he shouldn't have been. And when we're places that we shouldn't be, we don't want people to know about it. And it doesn't matter what happens. We'll try to keep secrets as long as we can to keep people from knowing that we've been places that we shouldn't be. But let me just say that God always knows where we are. He always knows exactly where we are. He knew Samson was in that vineyard. I believe that's why the lion came after him. God was trying to get his attention. And so many times God tries to get our attention and we don't listen. And when we don't listen, we're in danger of falling asleep. Samson in this vineyard, and the lion came upon him, and it said he killed the lion with his bare hands. It said he rent him as he would have rent a kid. He ripped this lion in half with his bare hands, and then he left and went on and found his wife. Well, if you read on later in the story, Samson comes back to this very same place, and he finds the carcass of that dead lion, and some bees had got in there and made a honeycomb in this dead lion. And what does Samson do? He reaches in and he eats of that honey. He touches something unclean. And maybe he didn't eat of anything unclean. He didn't eat of the dead animal or anything like that. But so many times we try to rationalize things as Christians. You know, we say, I didn't technically tell a lie, but I left some important details out that would be deceitful. I didn't technically lie, so that must not be a sin. We didn't actually sleep together. I'm not going to go into detail on that, but where's your heart at? Where's your heart at? If we're focusing on loopholes and technicalities, and we're asking how much can we get away with without technically sinning, I believe that we've already sinned in our heart. And Samson might not have technically taken anything of that dead lion, but he was messing around places he shouldn't have been messing around, doing things he shouldn't have been doing. And he reached into this dead lion and he took that honeycomb. So there's two pieces of this Nazarite vow, I believe, that already are in danger of being broken. And we can justify all that we want to. Again, Again, we like to disguise the truth a little bit when we don't want to. When we don't want to bear all of the truth, we'll tell parts and pieces of it, and maybe not technically lie. But if we lead people to believe something other than what really happened, that's a lie. That's a lie. When we focus on those technicalities, I believe we're in danger of sinning in our hearts. And I believe that God focuses on the heart and not necessarily going through the motions. But then we come back to where we started in Judges chapter 16. And he fell in love again with a woman he shouldn't have fell in love with, an ungodly woman. And Samson had become comfortable. There's ways that we're going to fall asleep. There's ways as Christians that we're going to fall asleep, and I believe that a lot of the world is in danger of doing exactly what Samson did. They become comfortable with things they shouldn't be comfortable with. Samson became comfortable with a bunch of things that he should never have been comfortable with. He was messing around places he shouldn't have been, and I believe that as Christians sometimes we let our guard down and we become comfortable. We let our guard down and we become comfortable. It's so dangerous. It's so dangerous. The Bible tells us to be sober and be vigilant and to constantly be on the lookout. Let's constantly be watching, looking for Jesus to come back. How many believe we're living in the last days? I believe that technically, if you wanna get technical about it, the last days have been ever since Jesus left and the church started. But I believe we're closer now than ever to Jesus coming back. I believe that there's signs of the times all over the place. And I believe if we're not careful, we'll fall asleep and miss it. I believe if we're not careful, we'll fall asleep and be not where we need to be when the Lord comes back. And I believe that we need to be sober and be vigilant, watching for the Lord to come back and living accordingly. And Samson here is a perfect example. He became comfortable with things that he shouldn't have been comfortable with. He became comfortable hanging around the people he shouldn't have been hanging around with. Be careful the company you keep. As Christians, I believe that we need to witness to and minister to and be a friend to the people that are lost. How else are they going to come to know Jesus? But that don't mean we have to go the places they go and do the things that they do. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. His purpose in life was to take care of these Philistines, to get rid of them because they had oppressed God's people. If you read a little bit before the story, it says that everybody was doing what was right in their own eyes, and God used the Philistines to judge his people. And Samson was supposed to begin to deliver the people of the Lord from the hand of the Philistines. He had a great purpose, but he started getting comfortable with things he shouldn't have been comfortable with. And when you get comfortable with things you shouldn't be comfortable with, a lot of times in our spiritual life we start to get careless. Just a little thought here and there that we don't put under subjection of the Spirit. Just some little actions here and there that used to really bother us that might not bother us anymore. We've become comfortable. We've become careless. And if you read all of Samson's story, I don't have time to read every bit of it. It covers a few chapters. But it says that in one point that they found him in the house of a prostitute. And you say, how does a man of God end up somewhere like that? You become comfortable. You become careless. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, here in verse 19, and she made him sleep upon her knees. She made him sleep upon her knees. He fell in love with this ungodly woman, and we know the story. She pressed him three times trying to figure out where his strength lied. She was in it for the wrong reason. She was in it to make a little bit of money and betray Samson because the Philistines wanted him dead. They wanted to take care of him. And she finally got him to tell her, and he fell asleep on her knees. Now remember, he'd already been hanging out in a vineyard somewhere he shouldn't have been. He'd already touched that deadline, something he shouldn't have done. And now Delilah cuts his hair when he falls asleep. What happens when we fall asleep? In verse 20 it said, and she said, and the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. That's a scary thought, that the Lord was departed from him. God tells us in the Old Testament, he said, I'm not going to strive against man forever. He says, I'm not going to strive with him forever. He sent the flood. He sent, you read throughout the Old Testament, and he sent judgment upon people, and he sent judgment upon his people. And this time it was Samson's turn. He says, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. I believe more than anything in this whole world, if the Lord departs from us, that's the most miserable place we can be. I believe as Christians, I was thinking when we were taking prayer requests a little while ago, the greatest need is not to be healed from cancer. The greatest need that we have as Christians is not for not to be healed from any disease or any depression or anything like that, but the greatest need we have as Christians is not to lose the Spirit of God. And I believe that's the most important thing as Christians. The Holy Spirit takes care of a lot of problems in our lives, and without Him, it's a miserable life. I don't know how we would handle anything without the Holy Spirit of God. It says, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. And the story goes on. The Philistines captured him. It says they gouged out his eyes. They made him a spectacle. Samson was in a pretty pitiful state because he'd fallen asleep. And I think we're in danger a lot of times as Christians that we're starting to fall asleep, and God sends stuff like he sent that line trying to get our attention, saying, wake up. He sends stuff a lot of times our way to try to get our attention. He'll send a preacher to preach a message telling us to wake up, and we don't listen. And then we become like Samson and we fall asleep. And let me tell you, I believe if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, God's going to get your attention one way or another. I believe that He loves us too much to let us continue on when we're living in sin. I believe that He's going to do everything that He can to bring us back to Him. I don't believe that He wants any of us to go to hell. I believe that as Christians, if we've truly been born again, He's going to go to great lengths to bring us back. And sometimes that's just a price that might be a little too much for us to want to pay. But Samson had to learn the hard way. He got taken captive by the Philistines, and it said that he worked for him. He was basically a slave to the Philistines, and a spectacle. They pointed and laughed and made fun of him, and they were they put him to hard labor. And it says his hair began to grow back, but his strength didn't return. Listen, sometimes when God has to get our attention, it takes us a while to get back where we were. And I believe as Christians, we need to take this warning from Samson and take this story as a warning. We don't want to fall asleep. We want to stay awake, because God might have to go to great lengths to get our attention, and He might try to warn you here and there. If you look at throughout the Old Testament, the prophets came and tried to warn Israel. They tried to warn them and say, return. Elijah went up against 450 prophets of Baal and proved that God was the only one true God. And the prophets in the Old Testament, they continually came with warning after warning after warning, and the people hardened their hearts and stiffened their necks. Let's not be like those people. When we look at the history of Israel, it's constantly God having to judge His people to bring them back. They ended up in Babylonian captivity. If you read the Old Testament, the people wouldn't listen to the prophets. People today don't listen to preachers. People today don't listen to teachers. They don't listen to sound doctrine. Let's not fall asleep. God had to go to drastic measures to get Samson's attention. But the good news was at the end of Samson's life, I'll just read it here in verse 28, and it says, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took a hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Some people look at this as a tragedy, but I think if we really look at what happened, God in his mercy restored Samson unto him. God in his mercy restored Samson back unto him, back into fellowship with him. We may have messed up. There may be somebody in here who's fallen asleep, and this is your wake-up call. God's saying, wake up. I don't want to have to go to any drastic measures to get you to come awake. And the devil's going to try to tell you that it's too late, that God don't want nothing to do with you anymore. The devil's going to try to tell you not to come up here to this altar in a minute and pray. God don't want nothing to do with you. He's done with you. You've messed up too bad. But I think if we learn anything from the story of Samson, is that even when we've fallen asleep and God has to judge us, He still loves us. He still wants us to come back to Him. He still wants us to serve Him. And He can do more. I heard a preacher one time preach just a few weeks or two ago that God can do more with the second half of our life than he did with the first half of our life, just like he did with Samson. It says that the number that he slew in death was more than what he slew in his life. God can still use you. God can still use you. Not only can he, but he wants to. I'll ask you, if you will, to stand with me. I'll ask you to come and play a song of invitation. This morning, I don't know where everybody is in your spiritual life. Everybody looks good to me. But where you're at with God is between you and the Lord. And I'll ask you, if you will, to bow your heads. Nobody looking around. I don't know where everybody is. I don't know where everybody is spiritually. But maybe you've fallen asleep. Or maybe you've started to become comfortable with things that, as a Christian, you shouldn't be comfortable with. Maybe you've never been saved. There's no better day than to be saved than today. Maybe you've started to become comfortable with things you shouldn't be comfortable with, hanging out places you shouldn't be hanging out, dating somebody you shouldn't be dating, keeping company you shouldn't be keeping. You started to become careless in your Christian walk. I believe God's calling us as a church to wake up. I believe God's calling his people all over the country to wake up. I'm going to ask you, if you will, just to search your heart for the next few minutes. And if you have a need at all, I'll ask you, if you will, to come. Ask everybody, if you will, to pray with me. Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you for another opportunity we've had to come into your house. Lord, we thank you for the service this morning. Thank you for your presence that we felt. God, I pray that you'd be with each and every person that's here this morning. Be with all of us. Lord, help us to live closer to you. Help us not to fall asleep, but to be watchful, Lord, and to live our lives totally and completely for you. God, it is in Jesus' name I pray. Thank you all for your attention this morning. Thank you again for having me. I don't know who to turn it over to, or if I just need to.
Does anybody have anything on their heart before we dismiss this morning? Anything at all? You know, it's like he said, you know, a lot of us may need to wake up. You know, we may be asleep on God. And, you know, when God comes back, it may be too late. So he says he's come like a thief in the night. So are you ready? You ready to meet him? No one has anything. I'll ask, I guess, Brother Jay if he would dismiss some word of prayer.